Well, this week I've been looking at 1 John chapter 3, and we've been looking at those first three verses there. And we tied it in with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 as well. Let me go back there and just read that so we can have that in our frame of reference as we get ready to continue on with 1 John. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people." This is who you are. "God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light." Because of who you are, because of the relationship that you have, because of the work that Jesus did in the ensuing relationship that you have, because of all of that, and because of who you are, that special people, that purchased special people, the expectation is that you have been set forth, you personally, have been set forth as a believer, as one who follows Jesus Christ. You've been set forth to see the wonderful deeds, to display the virtues and the perfections, the perfectness of Jesus Christ. Whoa. I can't live up to that kind of standard. I can't live up to those kind of virtues. I can't live up to that kind of perfection of Jesus Christ. Here's the reality. This is who you are, and these are the qualities that are in you. And the expectation is that you will see the wonderful deeds, the wondrous deeds, the supernatural, the miraculous, the overcoming deeds of Jesus Christ in your life, because you are a special chosen people. Now, with that in mind, let's go back and look at the three verses we've been looking at so far this week in 1 John chapter 2. So you're a special people. You're a chosen people, a special purchased chosen people. And because of that, the expectation that we should have is that we will see the wondrous deeds because of Jesus dwelling in us. We will see the wonderful deeds of Jesus manifested in our lives. Now, we might say, whoa, I can't live up to the standard of the virtues and the perfections, but I would like to see the wonderful deeds. I would like to see those things. I need to see the supernatural. I need to see the wondrous. I need to see some miracles in my life, either in finances or in health or in my marriage or my work or my job or my family, my kids, whatever the situation is. I need to see some miracles. I want to see those wondrous deeds. Well, the good news is this is who you are created to be. When you were created as a new creation, which is what you became when you accepted Jesus Christ, in that new creation, you were created to see those wondrous deeds manifested through you and through your life, because He brought you from the darkness into this marvelous light. So that's who you are. Now, why would I think that that's who I am? Because if you're like me, probably you can look back and you can say, well, you know, most of my experiences are contrary to that. You know, why would I have that? Why would I expect that? You know, I understand that Jesus purchased me, but I don't feel like a special people. I don't feel like a royal priesthood. I don't feel like a chosen people. I feel like I'm being run over by life rather than being an overcomer in life. How many times do you feel that way? So why should I feel differently? Well, we find out why in 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3, and I'm reading this again in the Amplified Bible. "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown, bestowed upon us." So this love, this amazing love, which leads to, it's that love that led us from that darkness into that marvelous light that we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's that same incredible quality of love that makes us that royal priesthood, that chosen race, that purchased special people that can see the wondrous deeds of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's because of that quality of love, that incredible quality of love that has been bestowed upon you. It's in you. That quality of love is in you. It's yours every day to fully experience and to reap the full benefits of. That we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. This is what we've been looking at the last couple of days. You are a child of God. You've been bestowed with the privilege of being called and named a child of God. Verse 1 goes on to say, and so we are. This is the realization you need to come to. You are a child of God. You have been bestowed. You are blessed and highly favored that you have been bestowed with the name and the relationship of being a child. You are counted as a child of God, named, called, and counted. You've been named. He's called you. He's given you his name. And you are right now counted as a child of God. You can expect to see those wondrous deeds. You've been named, called, and now counted. But now here's the thing. All of those three things are true. You have been named. You have been called, and you are now counted as a child of God. All three of those statements are true, but the key is you've got to understand it, and you've got to see it yourself. You've got to realize that yourself. You have to understand it, believe it, realize it, and live like that's a true statement. So that's what John is telling us right here in that very next phrase when he says, "And so we are." In other words, John is saying, realize the truth of these statements. They are true, but you have to realize it. And so we are. You should be saying to yourself, I am named, I am called, and I am counted as a child of God. And so I am. You can be saying to yourself throughout the day, I am named. I've got the family name. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty important name. Oh, yeah, I got the name of Jesus Christ. I am named a child of God. You carry with you the family name. We talked about this yesterday. That's the difference between adoption in this natural world and adoption into the spiritual realm. Because as much as I might love a child, if I adopt them into my life, I might love them like they are my own. I make them my own, but their blood, their DNA doesn't change. You know, they still remain with that same DNA. I can love them. They can be mine. I can love them just as much as my own flesh and blood. But the reality is, the DNA hasn't changed. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean you don't love them any less. That's just a physical fact. The DNA, you can love them just as much, but the DNA still remains the same. The difference is when you are adopted into the family, when you are named, called, and counted as a child of God, once you become a child of God and you are entered into that family, you're counted as a child of God, you are part of that family, your spiritual DNA changes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You've changed. Your blood is his blood. You are family. You are blood relation because you share the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you share the blood of Jesus Christ, your spiritual DNA is changed. You are directly tied. You are family. That's what it means when you are counted. You've been named by the name of Jesus Christ. You've been called. That's his love for you, reaches out for you. And when you accept, you are counted as part of the family. So that's the physical aspects of it. We also looked yesterday at the importance of understanding and realizing that there's power with names. In this world, you carry certain last names with you, and there's power that goes with those names. If you walk around with a name like Rockefeller or Vanderbilt or Gates, there's just certain names that carry power and authority with them. You're going to have a lot of doors open for you because of that name that you carry. You carry certain names, power and authority goes with it. That's just a natural truth. Well, it's true in the spiritual realm. It's even more true because the Bible tells us there is no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. And that every other name will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Every other name will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name that you carry. You have the family name, Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You've got the name of Jesus Christ and all of the fullness of the power and authority that goes along with that name. That is the name that you carry. Not only does it open doors and provide favor, which it does, it is the power and the authority over all things. And it's because of the power of that name and because you are counted as a child of God that you can see those wondrous deeds manifested in your life that we just all talked about in Peter's letter, in Peter's first letter, chapter 2, verse number 9. You can experience and see those wondrous deeds because you've been named, you've been called, and you are counted as a child of God. But then as John says, and so we are. It's true. But it's pointless to you unless you believe it. It's a true statement. You are a child of God. You've been named, called, and counted. As such, You share the blood of Jesus Christ, which overcomes all things. You share the family name. We talked a few days ago about how, you know, when you're a family member, if you looked at pictures of me and my dad, you would see resemblance. There's a family resemblance. Well, because we're children of God, we start to see that family resemblance. You go back to, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Go back there when it says, and you've been set forth with wondrous deeds and to display the virtues and the perfectness of Christ. You might say, oh, that's a standard I can't live to, but guess what? You can. What? Yes, because we start to resemble. Now, I resemble my father. I look like my father. When you're a child of God, and so we are, as John says, you start to take on the resemblance of your family. The family resemblance starts to come through. People see the virtues and the qualities of Jesus Christ coming through you. If you believe it, if you know it, and if you spend that time with him, it is impossible. It is impossible. Listen to me. It is impossible that those family resemblances don't start to manifest and demonstrate themselves through you. People will see it. But again, you've been named, you've been called, you've been counted a child of God. But you have to believe it. There's no power in it for you. It's true, but it's powerless to you if you don't believe it. It has no benefits for you if you don't believe it yourself. Say to yourself throughout the day, I am named. I am called. I am counted as a child of God. And so I am. And then you know that no matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're looking at, you know, I got the victory. It doesn't matter what the spear is like, I've got the victory. It's already mine. I can see the victory beyond what I see in the natural. I can see the victory because I'm a child of God. I've been named. I've been called. I am counted as a child of God. And so I am. Verse number 2 says, beloved, we are even here and now God's children. Even here, right now. Even here, in this life, despite what may occur, what may come your way, what things may arise that look like defeat. I'm not denying those things aren't going to come up. They are. But those things that bring defeat with them, guess what? You are even here and now God's child. Harken back again to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. You are that special people. You are that royal priesthood. Again, that's talking about the authority that you have. You are that chosen race. And you've been chosen, set forth for the wondrous deeds. That means you should be expecting to see the wondrous deeds overtake those things that rise up, that speak defeat, and that suggest loss. It's just merely a suggestion. You can either receive it or not. It's just merely a suggestion. Or instead, you can say, when those things come up, when those things rise up in your life, you can say, no. I've been named, I've been called, and I am counted a child of God. And so I am. And expect to see those wondrous deeds taking place. It goes on to say, and it shall not. Let's go on to verse number 3. And everyone that has this hope, resting on him, cleanses, purifies himself, just as he is pure, chaste, defiled, and guiltless. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. Realize who you are. I've read for 4 days now. Make a mental note of this and go read this. If you can read it in the Amplified, it's even better. But read 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Also look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If you missed that, you can't remember it, you know, place to write it down. Call the station. I will be happy to get it for you. But I want you to read those verses and read them throughout the day. And I want you to start saying to yourself, I've been named. I carry the family name of Jesus Christ. I've been called. He called me. And because I accepted my blood, I have the blood of Jesus Christ. My spiritual DNA has changed. I'm a family member. And I will start to see the family resemblance coming through in my life, which means I will see and experience those wondrous deeds in my life. And I am right now counted a child of God, and so I am. Whatever you face today, say, I'm named, I'm called, and I'm counted as a child of God, and so I am.